The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
I'm Jeff Chrysler, and I'm fake Tony Henbeck, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. I'm going to let Jeff speak for the both of us. Thank you, Tony, I appreciate that. This has been quite a week in the world, and comedy. Two events really stuck out for us. There was the announcement by Donald Trump that he's running for president, and there was the shooting in South Carolina. The absurd and the tragic. The hubris and the horror. Those are two things that really generated strong reactions from the Final Edition team for very different reasons. Personally, I wish Trump would just hop down to South Carolina and tell those still flying the Confederate flag exactly what they are. Losers! Sorry, I can't do Trump any more than I can do Hendra. You know, we debated, you know, should we mix up these two topics? Should we have them be separate segments of the show? And if they were, should the segments be separate but equal? Or is that too meta? Which would come first, the chicken shit or the guy with the egg on his face? In the end, we decided to tell you, listeners, we felt we owed it to the listeners to say, yes, we know we've got a lot about guns and a lot about Trump this week, and that's just the way it goes. We've also got plenty of our very weird and funny gems from both coasts, some classic National Lampoon bits because something big is coming, and a nice dose of our patented and absurd satire with teeth. Just want to take this opportunity to say that we hope you get as much pleasure and meaning listening to as we do producing the Final Edition Radio Hour.
We take you now to an historic speech by NRA spokesman Wayne LaPierre, which is already in progress.
You know, I want more guns in America. It is not enough to be armed. We must also always be scared and paranoid, never relaxed, always ready to fire wildly at anything. That is my dream. I have a dream that my children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the content of their character, but by the capacity of their firing clips. I have a dream that one day little black boys and little black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and little white girls as sisters and brothers, all of them armed and ready to start blasting if another kid even looked at them wrong. I have a dream. I have a dream that one day every valley shall be guarded, every hill and mountain shall have a sniper tower, and every school shall have an armed and bored employee just walking around looking at people. With this faith, we will be able to transform the jangling discords of our nation into one big angry ball of fear, with everyone hopped up on amphetamines, because sleep is the enemy. And so, let us retreat into the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let us cower in our homes in the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let us stockpile ammunition and canned water in the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Then someday, all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to take aim at each other and walk down the street just pointing at each other like that. Waiting.
Donald Trump is running for president as a true man of the people. So the Final Edition Radio Hour asked the people to come up with slogans for Donald Trump.
Donald Trump. Because anyone can become a millionaire if they start as a billionaire.
Man on the street!
The president of the NAACP chapter in Spokane, Washington, resigned after allegations that she pretended to be black but isn't. The Final Edition asked the man on the street, What do you think?
I guess she said golly one too many times.
I knew she wasn't black when I looked at her ass.
I hear she went to not Brown University.
Her brother's on trial. He's about to go to jail. She's black.
I hear she's writing another book called Black Like You.
She even lied about being raped by Bill Cosby.
Maybe her next job, she should be the president of the Spokane chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Crazy People.
I don't mind that she's colored, but she did the coloring herself.
I knew she wasn't black when Robert De Niro wouldn't f*** her.
I don't know about you, but after all this, she's going to be lucky to get a cleaning job in this town. Wait a minute.
Tonight, on Money, Guns, or God, we ask the question, in these times of despair and uncertainty, to what do you cling most?
My money.
My guns. All of them.
My sister. Underneath the blanket. Where I diddle her. I diddle my sister.
Hey. Listen up, Americans. It's me, Donald Trump, taking time out of my busy schedule of comb-over maintenance to say, I'm going to be your next president. That's right, Republican Party. The hair is in. Sucks to be you, Santorum. Get your fat ass back into the tunnel, Christie. Boo, Jindal, Pataki, you losers. Screw you, Jeb Bush, and your I speak Spanish. You know what language I speak? Winner, that's what. So why do I, Donald Trump, want to be president, I hear you ask? First up, bad news. The American dream is dead. Wah, wah. Dead like a young and inexperienced Vegas stripper half buried in a dumpster behind the strip after a bachelor party got out of hand. But I'm going to change all that. How? One, I am going to beat China. Literally beat China, like Melania literally beats me with a monogram Gucci switch. Only with China. I'm gonna beat it with my red and flaccid cock. That is not a metaphor. Two, I got no time for losers, so I'm going to drown them in an avalanche of money and vitriolic bile and a sporadic spurt of my own precious amber brown piss juice. Three, show us your birth certificate, Obama. You're fired. So vote for me, Donald Trump, or the hair will literally wait until you are sleeping, crawl off my head, down my neck, out the window, up your street, slither into your bedroom, and smother you to death. I mean it. Now where's my limo?
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Dick Clark's Teenage Pool Party. Hi, I'm Dick Clark, and today we're going to spin a few discs, drink some sodas, and frolic in the sun, because it's Dick Clark's Teenage Pool Party.
Marco! Marco!
All right, everybody back. I'm a police officer.
Marco!
I told you to stay. Get your asses back on the ground. Don't make me run after you with 30 pounds of f***ing gear on my stomach.
He's got a gun!
All right, young lady, get your face on the ground. You all watch your mouths.
Excuse me, officer. I'm Dick Clark.
What? Say, aren't you dead?
Why, yes, I am.
Well, get down on your knees and shut up.
Excuse me, officer, but why do you have to have your knee on that little girl's back?
I told you to sit down and shut up.
You can't tell me to shut up. I'm Dick Clark.
Sit down and shut up before I take out my gun again.
You think you can kill me? You think you can kill me?
Dick Clark's got a gun!
You can't kill me! I can't f***ing kill me!
Alright, alright. I'm leaving. Calm the f*** down. Say, I don't get you, Clark. Why do you care so much about these black kids?
Because someday I'll own their complete song catalog and get 60% of their future royalties.
Dick Clark's Teenage Pool Party, coming to a neighborhood near you.
The final edition presents What If Donald Trump Were Socrates? We take you to Greece in the year 408 BCE.
Donald, I pray thee explain, what is wisdom? Is it when we realize how little we understand about life? ourselves and the world around us?
You are a total lightweight. Only a total lightweight would ask me that question. You are dumb, and you are stupid, and you are a lightweight.
Pray thee, Donald, you don't have to be a dick about it. Why do you sit in the public square begging for attention if you are just going to yell at people?
Listen, I don't have time for you. I have dinner reservations at 2 o'clock, and I gotta change my suit.
You're having dinner at 2 o'clock.
And then I'm having another dinner at 5, and I gotta change my suit for that. I am very important, and I wear many expensive suits.
And so his students walked away enlightened.
Amalgamated Bank. Personal service is our guarantee.
Mabel, they're here to take away the couch. Turn off the lights!
We work closely with the people in your neighborhood.
Why is there a dead cat on my lawn? Who put that there? Stop hounding me!
Amalgamated Bank.
Tonight on Money, Guns, or God, we ask the question, why are you best prepared for the chaotic and uncertain future?
I can buy a house on the hill when the floods come.
Well, I can shoot the government when they come for my guns.
I can diddle my sister whenever.
Good evening, and welcome to I Don't Watch the News That Much. I'm Roy Dankwood. Joining me tonight in my roundup of this week's headlines is Brent Risselman, who a couple of weeks ago just appeared out of nowhere to help me change a flat tire. Thank you for joining me, Brent.
Don't mention it. You'd be surprised how many people don't know how their jack works.
Well, I certainly didn't know. Speaking of knowing things, Brent, as you may know, the Supreme Court is about to rule on whether the Obamacare subsidies are legal.
No, I didn't know that.
Well, you're not alone, Brent. A recent poll shows 70% of the public are barely even aware of the court's impending decision.
I wasn't aware of that either, Roy.
Then I guess you'd fit right in. But if the Supreme Court does rule against the government, 10 million people will lose their health insurance, and Obamacare itself could go down the drain.
I'm not a big fan of Obamacare, Roy, and I'll tell you why. I get my health insurance from my employer. So my feeling is if people want health insurance, they should have a job that gives them health insurance.
Well, I see your point, Brent, but many employers don't provide insurance, and people in those jobs need the federal subsidies to pay for it. If the Supreme Court decides the subsidies aren't legal, millions of people will have to give up their coverage. Doesn't that seem like a bad thing?
Well, I'm no expert, but if those people really want health insurance so badly, they shouldn't give it up just because they can't afford to pay for it. That's just common sense.
But people don't want to give up their health insurance. It's just that without the subsidies, they won't be able to pay the premiums because they don't make enough money.
Yeah, but take me for example. I have a job, and my job pays for my health insurance.
I know, Brent. But what about people whose jobs don't? Or people who don't have jobs? That was the whole point of Obamacare, that it provided ways people could still be covered.
That's all fine and good, Roy, but what about people who already have health insurance?
What about them?
What they don't tell you about Obamacare is if you already have health insurance, Obamacare doesn't do anything for you. I don't think that's fair, Roy.
Well, Brent, I think Obamacare was supposed to solve the problem that millions of people don't have health insurance. Since you already have health insurance, you don't need to solve that problem.
Right, but let's look at it from my point of view, Roy. Obamacare helps other people, but it doesn't help me.
That's very true, Brent. But if for some reason you lost your job, Obamacare would guarantee that you wouldn't lose your health insurance. Under those circumstances, wouldn't you be glad Obamacare could do that for you? Brent?
I have a job.
We are going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk about the strange case of former NAACP President Rachel Dolezal.
Hey, if she says she's a woman, she's a woman.
Donald Trump, because who are you to judge if he self-identifies as credible?
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Pull up your pants, we're back! It's the Final Edition Radio Hour!
Donald Trump, because you can't still be taking any of this seriously, can you?
As a service to our listeners, the Final Edition answers your frequently asked questions about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP.
I've heard a lot of arguments about some treaty called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but what is it?
Just sign it and we'll tell you.
Some people say it would raise prescription drug prices in third world countries. Is that true?
The only way to find out what's in the treaty is to give us fast-track authority to pass the treaty before you find out what's in it.
Will this be bad for the American worker?
Your government is committed to protecting the American worker, especially the American worker's right not to know what's in this treaty. That's the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We call it TPP. But you don't have to call it anything.
This is Dan Scott reporting live from Clinton County, New York. I'm here on foot along with probably half the police force. We're hot on the trail of fugitives Richard Matt and David Sway, who broke out of a maximum security facility 10 days ago. With me now is Sheriff Favreau. Thanks for letting me join in on the search, Sheriff.
Yeah, good having you, Dan. We're closing in on these guys. I can feel it.
This way, man. I smell that sugar.
And leading the search is none other than Joyce Mitchell, the former prison employee who helped the fugitives escape.
We cut her a deal. If a middle-aged, sex-crazed woman like Joyce could be capable of helping these guys escape, then a middle-aged, sex-crazed woman like Joyce could help us track down these bastards.
We're really close now. Ow!
We gave Joyce the scent of the inmate's underpants, and she took off like a bat out of hell.
Almost there. Oh!
And why is she barking like a dog?
I'm not sure exactly. She just decided to do that.
Oh, they're in here, man.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we got them now. Okay, men. They're in the warehouse. Draw your weapons and follow me.
Hey there. Welcome to Chippendale.
Aw, damn it. Not again.
Wait. Is this a Chippendale strip club?
Joyce!
Sorry, boys. I must have gotten the scent of male underpants mixed up.
This is the third Chippendales you've led us to this week.
But while we're here, can I get a lap dance? Please?
All right, but make it quick.
I guess it's back to the drawing board, eh, Sheriff?
I guess so. Ooh, that Joyce Mitchell. She's a hell of a stud hound. She just needs a little work on her aim a little bit.
Take it off, honey. Take it off! Ow, ow, ow!
The Final Edition presents What If Donald Trump Were Winston Churchill? We take you to London, 1941.
Donald, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea.
Lady Astor, you are a complete loser, and you were not born with a brain. People should ignore you.
Really? That's your best comeback? Look, I say, if you were my husband, I'd put poison in your tea. And you say, if you were my wife, I would...
If you were my wife, I would tell you to leave immediately, because you are not attractive. I pity your whole family.
Okay, let's try another comeback. I say, Donald, you are drunk. Now you say, in the morning, I'll be sober, but...
But it saddens me that you are so pathetic, and you are stupid. You see, you cannot match wits with me, Lady Astor.
And indeed, she could not.
Tonight, on Money, Guns, or God, we ask the question, what if, during the end times, you desperately need something that the other guy has?
I could buy a gun with my money.
I could rob a bank with my gun.
I could diddle my sister with my diddle.
Ha!
Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Central Florida Today. I'm Todd.
And I'm Jan. Good morning.
Hey, good news, Jan. George Zimmerman is back.
Did he ever leave?
True. He never really does he?
What did good old George do this time? Shoot another black kid?
Nope.
Throw another wine bottle at his girlfriend?
Ha ha, good guess, but nope.
Well, what is it, Todd? I'm on the edge of my ottoman.
Jan, it turns out George Zimmerman has a nemesis.
A nemesis? Wow, you mean besides sane people?
Oh, that's right. This guy, Matthew Apperson, has been shooting at George Zimmerman.
Shooting? As in more than once?
That's right, Jen. Shooting.
Fantastic.
Yes. Matthew Apperson has shot at George before.
Wow. It looks like Batman finally has his Joker.
True, but who's who?
Good point.
Oh, these two keep meeting on the highway and try to kill each other.
Great. Save fun for everybody. Happy rush hour, people. Get ready for the show.
Good old George Zimmerman. Society could not put him away, so now the crazy are coming after him.
Wow, I guess then he's Batman.
Yeah, if Batman killed an unarmed black man.
True. How did they meet?
Well, it's a sweet story. Apparently, they fell in love quickly in September. They clashed twice. After Matt Apperson shot at George recently, he told police that Zimmerman pointed a gun at him, and he said, "I'm gonna kill you." And that's why Apperson fired one shot into the car.
Just one? Why just one, Todd?
Well, if you ask me, I think he was flirting. Like, we've been seeing each other a lot now, and I'd like to be your nemesis. Here's a warning shot. Do you love me now?
Oh, that's sweet.
Well, now Georgie tells a different version of the story. Our Batman told police that he was making a U-turn when Matt drove up behind him and yelled, "Hey, you remember me, you fat fuck?" Oh, Georgie told the police he did not recognize Matt, even though they've been shooting at each other for weeks.
What fun! Thank God the gun laws are so loose down here.
Exactly! Then Matt said, and this is incredibly romantic, "You owe me your life. The only reason I didn't press charges on you is because I wanted to kill you myself."
That is adorable.
Right? And do you know what Georgie did next?
I don't. I'm dying to know. Literally, George Zimmerman. I want to be your nemesis, too. Come shoot me. Sorry, I get caught up. Go on. What did he do, Todd?
Okay, you ready? Georgie laughed at Matt and called him a clown.
You can't make this up.
I know, right? Anyway, Georgie made the U-turn and tried to drive away, but Matt pulled up next to him and fired.
I'm so glad that this all happened where everyone could see it and be involved.
Oh, it's a great story. Nemesis.
Nemesis. Stay with us. Coming up next, instead of talking about the terrorist threat at Kennedy Space Center, we're going to cover more Caitlyn Jenner.
Oh, great. Happy hunting, George and Matt, and hope to get to catch up again soon.
This is Food Beat, where we patrol the latest in food. This week's restaurant, Two Plates in West Los Angeles.
I'm here at Two Plates on La Cienega, talking to the owner, Ronnie Mason. Ronnie, didn't there used to be a restaurant here called Three Plates?
Yeah, we broke one of the plates. Finish your sandwich.
When is it my turn to use the plate?
Shut up! Shut the hell up! Why do you keep coming here, you hag?
That's Two Plates on La Cienega, and this is Food Beat.
Welcome back to the Bob Scott Show. Substituting for Bob Scott is God.
Line 7, you're on the air with God.
Hi, God. This is Matthew.
Oh, hi, Matthew. I loved your book. Huh? Nothing. What's your question?
Do you listen to all of our prayers?
No, I have a staff to go through and screen out the freaks. Line 5.
Yeah, have you decided where you're going to have your next big natural disaster?
Not really. Why?
I don't know. I was just wondering.
Do you have any suggestions?
Iowa.
Sounds good to me. Iowa it is.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Have a good day, and stay out of Iowa. Hi, line 1, this is God.
Yeah, is Jesus the answer?
I don't know. What's the question?
Well, the question was, who was the son of Mary and the founder of the Christian religion?
How many letters did they give you?
5.
Yeah, that's it.
We return after the break to the Bob Scott Show, hosted by God.
And now, a song from Sarah Palin the Musical by Kurt Weitzman and Dave Coldren, sung by Mari Magaloni.
I do pretty good on the polls, and I'm giving it all I got. You guys need to be drilling more holes when power's cold, but oil is hot. Because that fluid's so wet and viscous, petroleum, ooh, so delicious. I want your nasty crude, because it really hits my spot. So
drill, baby, drill.
Lube up that big shaft and pound.
Drill, baby, drill.
Spewing steamy hot chunks from the ground.
Drill, baby, drill.
Bend over, hold on to your stocks. Cause if this minivan's a rockin', don't bother knocking. There could be aftershocks. Am I being crude? Wanna roll in soil with hot, sticky oil, and you can take that to the bank. Cause once you go black, you never go back. Stick that nozzle in your tank. It's slippery, toxic, and oozy. I'm a primordial, truculent floozy. I could give the whole country a hummer, but I get no thanks. So
drill, baby, drill.
Cause this is the land of the free.
Drill, baby, drill.
All you hippies can go hug a tree.
Drill, baby, drill.
Stick your dipstick right under my hood. If there's a spill, don't panic. Oil is organic and long. Never felt so good.
A money shot in America's face. A little cream with your Texas tea. Why buy junk from the foreign race? That codependency. There's oil in that damn hill. Let's not drill it. Excuse me if there's a few squirrels. That would kill it.
I think our founding fathers would agree.
So drill, baby, drill.
Start pumping that big gooey load.
Drill, baby, drill.
Dinosaur meat 2,000 years old.
Drill, baby, drill.
Without it, there'd be no NASCAR. So let's get to fracking and made in Iraq and deregulate standards on cars. I do pretty good on the polls, and I'm giving it all I got.
Donald Trump. Future president, trophy wife gatherer, or just a fraudulent real estate investor? You decide. 2016.
Ow! Ow!
They don't like it when I roll my R's. Here if I do it more. Next on the final edition.
Okay, I think you should do all of this.
What?
I'm just...
You don't improvise, is that what you're telling me?
No, I can't improvise this. There's not enough substance to get my teeth into.
After these messages, the final edition radio hour will go to pi squared.
We will be right back after this.
Yeah, do something French. Imagine drinking wine.
Just did.
We'll be back to discuss on the final edition radio hour.
Okay, these are incomprehensible. That's enough.
We'll be back soon with more of the final edition
radio hour.
Hi, welcome back to the final edition radio hour. I'm Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour models itself in format and spirit after the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was in its heyday exactly 40 years ago when I was editing the magazine. I thought it might be fun to revisit some of the material from the mid-70s and see how it holds up. So hang on to your hats for what we used to call at the Lampoon a trip down memory lane, featuring Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Christopher Guest and Richard Belzer before they were famous, and as a bonus, Michael O'Donoghue, and his most insane.
the Maple Leaf Megaphone Newsreel marches through customs into Canada and right back out again with nothing to declare. Banff, Alberta. And here in Western Canada's unspoiled Rocky Mountain Playground, members of the sinister Canadian Nazi Party meet in their annual rally. The strutting beige shirts gather to stage a book burning of Canadian authors' works, but call off their plans when not enough books can be found to start a fire. Would-be burners of possible books, the sinister Canadian Nazi Party, meeting in Banff, Alberta. Moose Factory, and blood stains the snow in this isolated subarctic community as Royal Canadian Mounties battle Eskimos after being sent to repossess an iron lung. Softened by lush living off the profits of their soap carvings, Moose Factory's Eskimo tribe had gone on an iron lung shopping spree. This tubercular 98-year-old Eskimo woman is dragged from her iron lung and out into the cold where she belongs as husky dogs bark and a finance company representative adds up interest charges. Royal Canadian Mounties doing their duty as always in the blood-stained northern tundra. Ottawa. A moving spectacle unfolds in the Senate of the Canadian Parliament as attendants remove the venerable 104-year-old Senator Cornish Wallaby from the bench where he had sat undetected for the past 35 years. Listed as dead in Senate records, the grand old man of Canadian Parliament was discovered during the current recess by a cleaning lady. All Parliament Hill applauds the 104-year-old Senator Cornish Wallaby on his way to the ambulance. Canada's own Rip Van Winkle found fast asleep in the Senate. Toronto, and 25 of Canada's greatest pro-hockey stars arrived to match wits against retarded children in a charity spelling bee. Thousands of eager Torontonians strained to catch a glimpse of their favorite players, and it's Stanley Cup tension as competition gets underway. Our Maple Leaf Megaphone Newsreel camera catches the concentration on the faces of the contestants and the disappointment as all 25 of Canada's greatest pro-hockey stars lose out in the qualifying rounds. Little Jimmy is a happy mongoloid and a champion speller. Pro-hockey stars lose out to retarded children in a charity spelling bee. Truro, Nova Scotia, and Canadian Department of Transport icebreakers prepare to embark on another vital mission to try and find the province of Newfoundland, missing in the fog-shrouded Atlantic wastes for more than 15 years. Previous expeditions have had to turn back empty-handed, but hope runs high that this time, Canada's 10th and newest province will be located at last. Rescue ships setting to sea in search of the missing province of Newfoundland. Kamloops, British Columbia, and the Lord Tweedsmuir Games, featuring North America's third largest indoor checkers tournament, are interrupted by the appearance of a strange furry creature known in legend as the Sasquatch Monster. Our Maple Leaf Megaphone Newsreel camera catches a fleeting glimpse of the half-human, half-animal beast as children run and dogs bark hysterically. But order is quickly restored as officials discover that the Sasquatch Monster is only Miss Kamloops for 1974. A happy ending to a moment of panic at the Lord Tweedsmuir Games in Kamloops, British Columbia. The Maple Leaf Megaphone Newsreel marches through customs into Canada and right back out again with nothing to declare.
And now, the National Lampoon Radio Hour is proud to present the sensational comedy of Dr. Andrew Tillman, cardiologist.
Take that Hippocratic oath, please. I would have taken it myself, and I'm no hypocrite. Moving right along, I want to tell you students that a funny thing happened to me on my way to the operating table. A nurse came up to me and said, "Doctor, how many sutures are we going to need for this operation?" I said, "Nurse, suit yourself. Now take my patient, please." He told me that he was very frightened because this was his first operation. I told him I know just how he feels because it's my first operation, too. But seriously, students, this patient may not have been born in this hospital, but he sure is dying here. No kidding, though. Before this operation is over, if I don't run out of patients, I'll have him in stitches.
We close our broadcasting day, as usual, with Matt Lamp onto my feet. Tonight's inspirational message will be delivered by the Reverend Otto A. Brown.
In these troubled times, when problems like political corruption, unemployment, mental illness, racial strife, and the breakup of the family seem to be ever on the increase, when one war is no sooner ended than another begins in some other part of the globe, when sometimes we get up in the morning and feel that we look out on a sea of hate which threatens to engulf everything worth saving in this tired old world of ours, in times like these, it is more important than ever that we prepare a place in our hearts where the peace and loving kindness of our Savior can enter in. Love thy neighbor, Jesus said. And we know that he meant by that not just the fellow who lives literally next door to you, but all our neighbors all around the world, whether they're black, white, or yellow, rich or poor, male or female, old or young, long hair or short hair. For how are we going to achieve the happiness and prosperity we're all striving for if we turn against one another with hate instead of love in our hearts? If we are going to preserve any hope for lasting peace in the world, we must learn to live in harmony with all races, colors, and creeds, whether Catholic, Protestant, Baptist, Communist, Atheist, Hindu, all except the Jews. Because, let's face it, the Jews killed Christ. They killed him just the same as if they had murdered him, and we can never forgive them for it. And now, thanking you for listening, this is the Reverend Otto A. Brown saying, God bless you and good night.
Yes, I am. I'm your methadone maintenance man. Your methadone maintenance man. Yeah. La 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 la. One of these days I'm gonna spit this scene. Won't need no dope and no soap. I'll be Mr. Clean.
We will return to the Final Edition Radio Hour after this.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Donald Trump, because you thought Ted Cruz was running just to make Jeb Bush seem relatively reasonable. But you were wrong, because Jeb Bush is barely the third best Bush. And there's a big drop-off after number one. We've got a lot of work to do.
And now, the politically incorrect stylings of Jerry Seinfeld. What's the deal with Negroes? Why can't they decide where to sit? Back of the bus, front of the bus, who takes the bus? Why don't they take the subway? And what's wrong with that Rachel Dolezal? The last time a white woman had hair like that, she was starring opposite Dudley Moore. How did a white woman get to be the head of the Spokane National Association for the Advancement of Colored People? Doesn't that automatically stop their advancement? And why are they still calling themselves colored people? No wonder they can't get a seat on the bus. I don't understand this hashtag, Black Lives Matter. Shouldn't that be Colored Lives Matter? What's up with Caitlyn Jenner? Can she still do the pole vault or just the broad jump? What's up with women? Either they're passing for black or they're reconstituted Olympic champions. What's the deal with non-white, non-male, non-straight people? Hey, do I come down to where you work and knock the political correctness out of your mouth? I'm getting out of here.
Tonight on Money, Guns, or God, we ask the question, how do you get sex?
I buy it.
I shoot it.
I did on my sister. And then I claim nonprofit, tax-exempt status, extract donations from the ignorant, build a faith-based Ponzi scheme, develop a cult following using fear and intimidation, and demand loyalty to the one true God. My diddle.
We diddle my sister.
Get out of the car, ma'am.
What's the problem, officer?
Do you know why I pulled you over?
Get your hands off me!
Okay, I'll let you go with a warning. But if I catch you around here again, I'm gonna fuck you.
Rape Squad.
Rape Squad!
A Quinn Martin production, starring Chip Chandler as Detective Butch Dalton and Kyle Plug as Fist.
Tell us about Rape Squad.
Well, it was really ahead of its time. Remember, this was the 70s when cops weren't raping to the extent they are today. It was groundbreaking, really.
All right, Fist, it's a terrorist threat. They have 5 hostages. Call SWAT.
Sir, please.
I'm not sending in Rape Squad, Chip. But indeed, these are terrorists, and your crew is not trained in... Hey, where'd he go? Damn! Decked and raped, Dalton. Decked and raped.
I kill you, pig dogs! I terrorize and I kill you!
Not today, terrorist scum.
What the? Rape Squad? Oh! Ow! Oh! Oh! You're not gentle at all!
Creator Don Cock.
Rape Squad was the first show to use real Chinese people, and I'm proud of that. A lot of people had a problem with the violence, but it always had a message.
And what was that message?
Something about drugs.
I'm not high! I'm not high!
I think this cocaine is affecting your rape.
Okay, I have a problem. I need help.
We were the first show to deal with a lot of social issues, like gay rights and fat chicks.
Rape Squad lasted 14 seasons. It was canceled in 1988 when Reagan left office.
We kind of ran out of ideas. We had pretty much raped everything. I think the show really jumped the shark when we raped that shark.
But its groundbreaking use of insulting misogyny and high drama changed the landscape of cop shows forever.
I don't think there was another rape show like it. To this day, I still have people recognizing me on the street, walking up to me and punching me in the face.
Rape Squad!
I'm Juliana Forlano, and now, your Absurd Minute. A new study suggests that cockroaches actually have distinct personalities, and most of them have nice corner offices on the Hill. Bill O'Reilly has been outed for assaulting his wife. Is this a shock, people? He assaults us every day.
Do we have Asian privilege in America?
O'Reilly blames the assault on his PTSD, which he clearly got while serving in the war on Christmas.
Have a holly jolly Christmas.
Cuba has been officially removed from the U.S. terror list. Hopefully they'll be replaced by Monsanto. Charles Krauthammer and Donald Trump have been arguing, calling each other dumb and irrelevant. Come on, guys, stop the fighting. As I see it, you're both right. Google is teaming up with Levi's Jeans to make what they call smart clothing, thus completing Google's plan to literally have you by the balls. Seriously, what are these pants supposed to do? Do they wick? Do they unbutton themselves after Thanksgiving dinner? I think I can handle that already. Chris Christie said he is against recreational marijuana use, but rumor has it he's completely pro the munchies. And in birthday news, the movie Jaws turned 40. When it turns 70, they'll change its name to Dentures. Flava Flav was arrested in a traffic stop. He got a DWI, driving while irrelevant. That was The Absurd Minute. I'm Juliana Forlano. Find our full-length show at progressivevoices.com/Juliana Forlano.
They don't have boundaries.
Matthias, you don't have boundaries.
I'm not my father.
Matthias!
Hi, Mom.
And this must be Carol.
Very pleased to meet you, Mrs. Incubus.
Call me Danielle.
Okay, Danielle.
Yeah, that sounds weird when you say it. Call me Mrs. Incubus.
All right, then.
Dear, Matthias is here. The girl has been tormented.
Carol, this is my father.
Well, what a thing to say. Thank you.
And this is my adopted brother, Tim. He's from Cambodia.
Hey, you want a gummy worm?
Wouldn't that ruin my dinner?
That's the whole idea. He almost got you.
Yeah, whatever.
We're so proud.
Well, you know, Mom, I've had over 1,000 minions under